Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Immediately when I started to take a look at the amount of intervention, let's say, that happened in our human history, and I was channeling this and remote viewing these ancient human history timelines, I was pissed. I was so angry. I'm like, what? No way. Like, that's not okay. Like, they can't just do that. Now, granted, we did evolve. So I went to the Galactic Federation, this is like 10 years ago, and I'm like, yo, guys, come on. Like, you have all these resources, you have all of this technology, and you didn't stop them from making us slaves for how many years? Hundreds of thousands of years? Like, what? And they always laugh at me when I get upset because it's a very human reaction, right? Like, it's like my human coming through. Yeah. And they explained to me, they said, we've been aware of every different species, civilization, being to manipulate Earth or manipulate human beings, whether it be in a physical way, energetic way. And they said, we only allow what is contracted to happen. And essentially, by saying that, they implied that everything that took place with the Anunnaki was contracted to happen because what did they do? They evolved us hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years in a matter of a short period of time. And yes, they taught us math. They taught us astrology.
Okay. Carolyn, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Listen, I wanted to just go have some conversation with you, if you will.
Sure.
Okay. You know, Jillian is a clairvoyant. She said you are too a clairvoyant.
No, I'm not a clairvoyant. I'm sensitive to the energies, and I'm also clairsentient. So I kind of have a knowledge coming from the soul, not from any books, not from anything I've read or taught. It's basically an inner knowing. I kind of came in with that in my birth.
Ah, wow. Wow. So you've been doing it for a minute or two then?
Yes. Yeah, I have. And always been knowing that I was different, pretty much alone, pretty much lonely. Didn't really resonate with anybody, but at birth was too young to know what any of my purposes were and what this whole parade was all about. And so kind of just gravitated towards sports, which I pretty much excelled at growing up in Great Falls, Montana. And, you know, and then when I started to, you know, develop the higher chakras, I began to follow kind of a spiritual path. Maybe around my junior high years when I was 15, 16, 17, but never really knew exactly what it was. I just kind of cherished my time being alone with, I don't particularly like the word God because it's too Christian for me.
Uh-huh.
But prime source, creator, whatever you want to call it. I just call it source. And, you know, enjoyed the inner conversation, spiritual conversations with my higher self and in the form of, you know, trying to understand when the energy of the planet was much darker, or I won't say darker, but less conscious than it is now. And, you know, from there, I just continued to kind of keep to myself. I mean, you know, continued being a phony to the world and playing the game, but always knowing within there was something for me to do.
What is it you to do? What do you want to do before you leave?
Well, I mean, the ultimate goal, my ultimate desire, let's say, and I believe it's my soul purpose, is basically to become one with my God self or higher self, whatever you want to call it. The mystical marriage, you know, where the lower self and the higher self come together as one. They call that the fifth dimensional awakening consciousness. Christ consciousness, not putting Jesus in the equation, but that's what Jesus attained. But it's a realm, it's a dimension. The fifth dimension is the Christ consciousness, where there's only one energy, and that is divine love. There's no more separation. There's no more good, bad, right, wrong. None of this bullshit. There's just divine love, divine law. That's all. And that's what I've always felt, because I've had a couple of mystical experiences where I've experienced that on my higher chakras, which is the throat, the third eye, and the crown. But it never went down to my physical body, because that's where I had my lessons to learn in this incarnation.
How many incarnations have you had?
Oh, gosh. You know, I really don't know, probably in the thousands. I have a slight memory of one when I was a 12-year-old boy, and it was kind of in the Mesopotamian era. And I remember I was running down a peninsula, kind of running for my life, and I had some snapshots of that. I didn't know what it was all about, but I knew it was my soul in that particular body. And then my last incarnation, I knew I had much more information and insight. I was in the SS.
What's that?
You know, Hitler in World War II?
Oh, yeah, the SS. I'm sorry. I thought it was...
Yeah. So I was in the SS, and definitely a Hitler wannabe. And so I created a lot of karma for myself there.
Uh-huh.
And so
in this lifetime, how do you think you have bettered that incarnation? How do you think you have paid back some dues, if you will?
Basically, Russell has been through physical pain.
Oh.
When I was in, I had no intention of traveling when I graduated from University of Oregon. I didn't know what I wanted to do, because I learned nothing from academia. I thought it was just rigged. And, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but they had a good school of recreation, so that's what I majored in, and I was no good in academia and didn't care about it. But I applied for a job overseas, and Spirit plopped me right in Germany, it was geographical karma and group karma is what I call it, that I had in Germany and being in the SS. And I, you know, I landed in Germany and I worked in the service club, and, I basically where it, the karma came to light was when I dropped some acid. And, of course, I was a bona fide hippie and pretty much still am, just took the spiritual path. I'm 76 years old now. But at any rate, it just wasn't a bad trip. It was bad acid. It wasn't only a bad trip, but it was horrifying and terrifying. It lasted 8 hours, and then all of a sudden it went away. But 2 months later, which was very interesting, is myself and a friend, we took a 3-day trip to Nuremberg. And all of a sudden that energy that I felt, that panic and peak fear and panic during the trip, my acid trip, it enveloped me again, but not quite as harsh, because if it were as harsh, I wouldn't be able to function in a normal way. So it was a little bit less, so I could still, you know, do my job in the service club, which was recreation for GIs over there in Grafenberg, Germany. Wow. And it lasted for 2 years.
The job.
No, the job lasted for 3 years. I could have gone on if I wanted to, but the trip, the acid trip.
It lasted for 2 years.
It lasted, yeah, my flashback. It wasn't a flashback. It was karma that I was partially paying back from where I had committed, and I believe it was in Nuremberg, in the SS.
All right.
And go ahead.
No, if I may, 2 years you went through just in and out of.
Certainly in.
Wow.
I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself. I had to have someone come with me. I was always carrying my boom box around, playing the Moody Blues to keep me kind of in a spiritually atoned way. I couldn't go to sleep in my own bed without somebody sleeping with me, and then when I fell asleep, they'd leave. So I was in a constant state of high anxiety and fear. And it lasted for 2 years straight, and to that day, I couldn't really take acid or do dope again, just alcohol.
All right. Well, that's been a long, long time ago, Matt. Okay. So
yeah.
It hasn't bothered you since that time?
My whole life this time, right now, what I believe and what I've been told also, because there's certain videos from YouTube that I listen to, and if I resonate with them, I just know on a soul level I resonate with that truth. But what I chose on a higher level, Carolyn certainly wouldn't choose it. Never, ever. But on the soul level, you know, we don't have a body, so we don't feel any pain, and we don't feel any of the shit that we work through down here. We think everything is going to be relatively easy. So on a higher level, before we incarnate into the physical body, we decide what lessons we're going to work on. And up there, we know what the lessons are. When we come down here, we're cut off from that knowledge, and we don't know what we're going to work on, but we start going through different lessons that our body presents us with, whether it's pain, whether it's, let's say, being gay, and I am a lesbian, whether it's being gay, black, white, red, you know, whatever, what country, what race, it doesn't matter. There's lessons to be learned. And, you know, for me, I had to get out of the country just to feel safe to come out of the closet. So that was one of my lessons. But from an early age, I knew, Russell, that I was born to be a disruptor.
Okay.
Meaning to go against the grain of society, what society believes, to fit in to the rules, the laws, the social norms. I have never fit in anywhere. I've tried, and finally I woke up to the fact that, no, I'm meant to be a disruptor.
All right.
So, yeah.
Okay. What field of endeavor, what has been your profession for the last 60 years? You're 76 now. How have you made a living?
When I graduated from University of Oregon, I spent 3 years in Germany. Had no intention of landing in Germany, but I did, and that was basically to pay off some karma, you know, being in the SS in my past incarnation, which I remember quite well. And so I worked in a service club where there were GIs, and it was for their recreation, you know, playing, directing, having tournaments, ping pong pool.
Yeah, like a USO facility.
Yeah, similar to that, yeah.
Right.
It was a Department of the Army Service Club Division. And
were you enlisted?
It was fantastic. No, oh my God, no.
You were a civilian.
I was a civilian, GS5.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Came, yeah.
Working for the government,
and,
civilian.
Yeah, yeah.
And you did that for how many years?
3 years, I could have, it was a transportation agreement.
Oh.
In other words, I agreed for, I signed up for 3 years, and then if I did that, they would pay for my way back and pay for all my belongings to be set back, wherever I wanted them to be set back to. If I didn't fulfill it, then I would have to, it would be okay if I dropped out because I was never enlisted, but I would have to pay for everything.
Well, tell me about some of your experiences as a, you say you're not a clairvoyant, you, whatever name you gave me, what opened?
Basically, what I came through is that where I would say excelled, or what I really resonated with, when I came back from Germany, I was still on a spiritual quest. Stayed there longer, but I had a calling within that kind of said the picnic is over with. You got to get on with your life right now. So I went kind of commune hopping to see where I fit in, and I didn't fit in with any of them. And so in Germany, I met some friends that were from Louisville, Kentucky, and I went back and lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and Southern Indiana for 35 years, 40 years.
All right, what did you do?
And there, the majority of my time was spent being an addictions counselor.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay.
And I love that. It wasn't work for me. I loved it because I had the freedom. I was very fortunate to work in agencies, and they were fairly large agencies, but I had the freedom to kind of, if you want to call it counsel, or work with my clients in the way that I wanted to.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't really bound by any, you can't do this, and, you know, the shoulds and shouldn'ts. And so I really liked it.
So you're in Canada now?
No, I'm back in Montana.
Oh, you're
in Montana.
Oh, in Montana. Oh, okay.
Actually, I live in the same building that Jill does.
Oh, I see. How long have you been living in that building?
Probably I'm going on 6 years.
How do you like it?
To be honest with you, I've because of my physical limitations, I have chronic pain, and some people call it fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue, to a point where I really do, I don't need assistance like bathing or any of that, but I don't have the energy to really cook myself and, you know, keep up living. So it's pretty much filled with people who their average age is approximately 88, 89, and I honest to God feel like I'm in a friggin' nursing home.
Right, right.
And they're actually healthier than I am. So
I understand. How did you know that you had a purpose coming to this planet and that you had been incarnated into your body? How do you know that?
I felt like I had, when I was in Germany, I felt like I had some kind of purpose. I didn't know what the hell it was, but I knew I was here for a reason, and it was spiritual, to do something. I don't know exactly what it was, but I had a mystical experience, very mystical.
What does that mean?
Where, definitely not of this world. And it was the full-blown potential of my soul consciousness, which was quite, divine, eternal, infinite. And that light, the potency of that light out of nowhere, well, I was actually ready to put on George Harrison, My Sweet Lord, and I'm not a Christian. I want to make that clear. I don't do any religion. I'm on my own spiritual path, but I was just ready to put my headphones on when I was in my BOQ living there in Germany on post. And I was ready to put my headphones on, and I looked down Time magazine, and there was a picture of Jesus on it. And it was that vibration. That vibration on the magazine just lit up the vibration of my, let's say, my third eye and my crown chakra, you know, your upper two vortexes, openings in your body, that lets light in and also lets light out. And that connection completely, it was so explosive. I mean, I can't, because it was not of this world, and it was so intense. It wasn't just like having a little spiritual experience. I could not have taken one more ounce of light, or I literally would have imploded. My physical body would have imploded. And it was from my throat, my third eye, and my crown. And I really couldn't move position. I was just awestruck and crying. I couldn't understand what had happened, but I knew what had happened. I mean, I was totally filled with light from that point on, from my throat up. And it had changed my life forever.
How did it change your life, if I may?
It's like it just totally validated, more than validated, the knowing, the soul knowing that I was basically, and this might sound arrogant, but, and it's not just me, it's everybody, that we are God having a human experience. I realized that. I just didn't know it on an intellectual level because I've never really had a deep respect for the intellect. But I knew it on all levels that I was the Christ or God consciousness having a human experience.
All right, you're saying that's the fifth dimension?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And which I was definitely not equipped to live on down earth because I hadn't risen my own consciousness yet. Carolyn hadn't.
So why are you still here then?
Because I'm still working on lessons that I have yet to learn to internalize.
When they talk about the Anunnaki or the Palladians or the Greys or the Orions, are you in contact with any of those species?
Presence. Now, this is where Jill and I differ.
Okay.
She feels that she is Anunnaki. I have a different kind of awareness of what the Anunnaki are. I feel they cut themselves off from source consciousness because they wanted to be their own gods. And so they're not necessarily spiritual as much as they are extremely high knowledgeable in technology.
Uh-huh.
Technology that our planet has yet to even begin to understand. And they basically created the human, the Anunnaki.
Uh-huh.
You know, they kind of went through different hominids. I mean, we did not evolve from the apes, okay? That's just a dark Darwinian theory that's false. The Anunnaki created us. My feeling is that when they created the human, they left what you want to call the source gene or the God gene out of our DNA, so that they could control us, and we would become their basic, if you want to call it, energy source. We would do their work for them, do their bidding for them.
Right.
In other words, we were kind of a slave race to the Anunnaki.
All right. But that's been documented over and over and over again. Zachariah Sitchin, have you read The 12th Planet? Have you read the book?
No.
No? Okay. By Zachariah Sitchin. Do you know of Zachariah Sitchin?
You know, not really, because I don't do any reading anymore.
Oh.
The information I get is within myself. I do resonate with the Arcturians. And I have not been on their ships. They're a fifth dimensional planet or consciousness, and they go beyond that. They go up to the ninth of the tenth. And they're highly, highly technology, probably more than any of the other species, fifth dimensional species. They're excellent healers, and they're quite close guardians of the Earth. But when you're the Anunnaki are not fifth dimensional. They are not connected to Source or to God. They have become their own gods. So they really can't reconnect to Source consciousness because they decided that they didn't want to be beholden to anything higher than them. They liked where they were. And it's everything's free will, so they made a decision to cut themselves off.
Uh-huh. How about the Greys?
The Greys are basically holograms. They're not even real. They were created by the Anunnaki also to do their bidding. And from my understanding, and I also had a friend that witnessed it, which just blew me away. She lives right up the slough from me, and she was a healer. And her teacher, they were kind of in the Virginia area, kind of close to the capital. And they were staying in a house, and their teacher was staying in another house. And one of the Grey ships landed near to where they were. And they got out of their house, they saw the Greys, and they were immediately kind of overcome with fear. And because the Greys are, they're definitely not connected to any divinity whatsoever. They're really not even real. They're kind of a creation, a tool, a puppet that the Anunnaki have made. And so she called up her teacher, and her teacher came over, and he was pretty high in consciousness, and he told the Greys to go. He had more power than they did, more influence, and they did leave. And then my friend and some of her friends followed the Greys, their footsteps, and it led right into the Pentagon. Followed the Greys into the Pentagon, and our government has been working with the Greys for quite some time, much longer than you can imagine, probably since the 50s.
Much longer, probably since Roswell, 1947.
Probably a little bit after that, maybe.
Okay. How about the reptilians? Give me a rundown on the reptilians. Because I understand that before when the Anunnaki got here, many hundreds of thousands of years ago, the reptilians were already here. This was their turf, if you will.
You know, I don't really know who came first or who. There's the reptilians, and then there's the reptilians. The reptilians that you see now, like Queen Elizabeth was a reptilian, and thank God she's gone. And there's a number of others, and Jill said she saw Prime Minister Heath from Great Britain. She saw with her own eyes that he was a full-blown reptilian. So they are on the planet. But they're in the fourth dimension. They're fourth dimensional beings, as are the Anunnaki, as are all the lower dimensional beings. But they all came from the one source, which we call the Archons.
Okay.
And the Archons kind of created the reptilians, and this was way back before Mesopotamia. And the Archons created the reptilians and the Anunnaki. And I imagine there's some other species. There's just thousands that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
But they're all fourth dimensional beings. They are not connected to prime creator or God source energy.
All right.
They're their own gods.
Okay. When you talk about the source, prime creator, how can you identify the source?
I don't think the human is capable of doing that. I think we're too... Earth is known as the planet of the children. In the cosmos, Earth is known as the planet of the children. When we came down to human form, we came all the way down to the third dimension, and you can't get any lower than that and still house carbon atom, which is 666. Six electrons, six protons, six neutrons. And we've kind of interpreted the 666 to be the Antichrist, right? Well, in reality, it really is, but there really is no Antichrist other than your own ego. Because the ego is not real. It's made up of carbon atoms, which is 666, and that is the Antichrist. But it is temporary. Your ego is temporary. And the only thing your ego wants to do is to stay alive.
I see.
Because after you die, after you pass out of your physical body, your ego is dead.
Uh-huh.
In this incarnation, your ego is dead. And it does not want to die. So it does everything. I mean, it's not a bad thing. There is no good, bad, right, or wrong. But it just wants to maintain life in your body, and it does that by basically trying to build us up with maybe feelings of superiority, feelings of not being good enough, being angry, avoiding diving deep into our own issues, which nobody wants to do because nobody wants to really realize our own faults and our own, how we self-sabotage our own self.
Right.
People don't like to see themselves. They like to see what they perceive as the good in them.
Right, right.
And the thing is that Earth is a planet of duality, black, white, female, male, hetero, homo, whatever you want to call it. It's a duality of everything. That's the yin yang.
So that's the big fight. The big fight is who is going to be in control. Is that right on this planet?
Right. It's basically the Christ. There's only one war. Everything else is a stage. It's a play. It's not real. We create it. We've created this whole mess that we're in right now. Eons ago, from our Anunnaki days on down, we have created me versus you. And basically, the biggest war is when you get to your final... when you're ready to make a big breakthrough in consciousness from 3D to 4D to 5D,
uh-huh.
That's when your ego fights the most because it knows its life is coming to an end. In other words, it knows that it has to surrender to the Christ of you, and that's your God consciousness, which resides in the heart. And the heart is 500 times more powerful than our brain. the heart has its own brain, then the stomach has its own brain, and then the third most intelligent brain is the intellect, and that's the one that the humans revere, and that is our biggest mistake.
Wow. Talk about the Pleiadians a little bit. What role do they play?
They're basically fifth-dimensional beings, but the Pleiadians also kind of muck things up early on in the game, too. You know, they made some mistakes, if you want to call it mistakes, but kind of self-serving. Early on, I don't believe they're that way now. This is kind of where Jill and I differ a little bit.
What difference? Let's talk about that.
I probably maybe sees them as not as enlightened as I do. I definitely believe they're fifth dimensional consciousness, and by fifth dimensional consciousness, I mean that there is no more duality. There's no more good, bad, right, wrong. There's no discrimination. There's no judgment. There's only one energy, and that energy is divine love. And I believe that's where your fifth dimensional races operate out of. They cannot interfere because they would be breaking a cosmic law by interfering to the human's progress or lack of progress. They will not interfere.
Just a second. When you talk about they, are you saying all the entities follow that cosmic universal law of non-intervention in terms of the lives of people on the planet?
Only the fifth dimension and above, because they operate out of divine love, and they understand that, they know that, and so they will not interfere with planet Earth, because planet Earth is a free will planet. So they won't prevent us from doing anything. They will help us all they can, all they're allowed to do. For instance, because of the fifth dimensional planets, and there's probably hundreds of them, but I'll talk, you know, the Lyrians, the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, the Andromedans, the Sirians, they will protect Earth. Earth will never be destroyed. Now, the humans, we can cause our own extinction if we don't wake up and change our ways. And we're really fighting against that right now. But they are protecting Earth because Earth is in the process of ascension, going from her third dimensional consciousness up to her fifth dimensional consciousness, which she originally was at. It was by her own choice. They had a council, a meeting a long time ago. Earth volunteered to drop her status from 5D to 3D to enable this cosmic experiment. All we are is an experiment. The human is just an experiment on a great, on a gigantic Petri dish.
All right, so do you know April, Elizabeth April? Have you heard of her?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay, because she says the same thing.
Yeah, and so they're not going to interfere with the games and the dramas that go on Earth.
So Shakespeare probably was right saying that the world is a stage and all we are actors and actresses upon the
stage.
Okay.
Exactly. So playing out our own dramas.
Okay, so you're saying this is all pretend. There's nothing really seriously real here except in our imagination.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's all a matrix. It's all just it's a false reality. It's a false matrix.
So AI is in control. AI is in control.
I want to say that there's really nothing wrong with technology. It's also very true when man begins to revere and develop technology and put that ahead of their spirituality, which we are doing very rapidly, then that will cause our own destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big war. And that basically comes from the intellect. And that's the masculine energy. The lower masculine energy operates from the intellect, not the heart. That's the feminine energy. And that's why you find all of the killings, the murders, the rapists, all the sociopaths, the psychopaths, the serial killers, the government, it's all lower masculine energy.
Let me ask you this. What do you think, what kind of energy would you describe to Donald Trump or Biden? What kind of energy would you give them?
You know, comparing the two, they're both asleep, consciously asleep. I believe that Donald Trump served a great big purpose here on Earth, and his purpose was to be a disruptor, not in the same way that, let's say, Jesus was. Jesus came here to be a disruptor also. Because he knew that everything was basically on the wrong track. And he didn't come here as a savior. He came here to give us the fifth dimensional truth. And his message was basically not welcomed because we wanted a savior. We didn't want to do the work ourselves. You know, in other words, looking in deep inside of ourselves and seeing how just strong our ego is. And the ego does run the show to this day to a high degree. And Jesus came to tell us that we are much more than we could ever believe that we are, and that we would be the same. We are the same as him, and we will grow to be fifth dimensional beings that we are, instead of playing the low government games. And so Jesus came to the planet as a rebel and as a disruptor. He did not want to be a savior. He did not want any organization, the Christians. He did not want any of that bullshit.
All right. He said he would be back. When is that? He said he would be back.
That's the second coming, and the second coming is not going to be in a person. It is in all of us, and that's what they call the awakening. That's the ascension that we are now going through. The majority of mass conscious still asleep to this. They're still belong to a religion, believe in something greater than them, and in fact, we are the answer. We are the Christ, and we are the devil, if you want to call it the devil. Of course, the devil is just fear.
So what are we going to follow then? If we say there's good and there's evil, there's light, there's dark, there's up, there's down, there's yin and there's yang, there's white, there's black, what do we do? How do we get out of it? How do we get out of this? And have a peaceful,
get out of it,
and have a peaceful, loving life.
Well, that's why we've been here. Everybody's been here for thousands of incarnations. I mean, some are newer souls than others. But we learn as we grow from incarnation to incarnation to incarnation. We're given lessons from our soul on a higher dimension, on the fifth dimension, that we need to work through and that we need to learn so that we can. Actually, it's not learning anything new. In reality, it's remembering who and what we truly are, which is God having a human experience. And that's what you call the grand awakening. And that's what you call illumination, enlightenment. When you totally realize on all levels that you are not your personality, you are not your body. You are the Christ. And that's the message Jesus came to give us.
Well, wait a minute. Let me back up a bit. if that's the message he came to give, then why are we still fighting among ourselves, knock down, drag out, murder, hate?
Because at the time, Russell, we were not prepared to accept his message, and neither were his apostles.
How about now?
I mean, the Bible... The Bible is kind of like a fictional book. There is some beautiful stuff in the Bible, but in the Council of Nicaea, about 350 A.D., most of the very threatening stuff was taken out of the Bible because the Bible is a government book. It was by the religious order of the day, and the government got together and saw that there were too many people following Jesus, but on different levels.
So they wanted to get. Did they throw out the book of the Essenes?
Yes, and Jesus was an Essene. The Essenes were a mystic group, a mystical group. And if the government in that day had found out about it, they wanted to eliminate them also because they were not Christians, nor were the Gnostics. The Gnostics had a lot of the Essenes in them. But the majority of the people wanted to in the Council of Nicene, which was in modern-day Turkey, they threw out anything that would allow man to know who and what he truly was and what our divine purpose was here. And they were extremely misogynistic, which is the male is superior to the female. And so everything was misogynistic. Everything was bowing down to the masculine energy where women are superior. And it runs to this day. You don't find women having true power. They are still kept. We're still kept in our place.
All right. How about the Germans in Antarctica? Why are they there in Antarctica?
They're not the only ones there. The United States is there, China's there, Great Britain is there, Russia's there.
Why?
They're all there. Because what is going on is that they are discovering, basically, to put it short and sweet, they're discovering that there is an inner Earth. And Admiral Byrd in the Air Force in 1947, I believe you've heard of him.
Yes. He took hundreds of ships and planes to run them out of there in 1947. What happened?
His ship went taken into that portal in the South Antarctica. And his ship went down in there, and he communicated with these beings. He saw the beautiful, and I don't know what species it was. I don't know what collective it was. I don't know if it was the Arcturians, the Pleiadians. It really doesn't matter. But they were fifth-dimensional beings. And he was allowed to go into their cities, which was completely made up of beautiful crystals. And they all communicated telepathically. And they were completely self-sustained. And the only energy that they ran off was love, divine love. And they gave Admiral Byrd a tour of their city, which had a sun, which had moon, which had oceans, mountains, much bigger than the surface of Earth.
And what species did he meet with? What species live there?
You know, I'm not sure. It could have been a multitude of them.
Okay, let me go back then. In Antarctica, according to Michael Seller, I don't know if he's read any books or not, that the Germans took hundreds of thousands of people, tons and tons of gold, and are building a city and have built a city ever since 1942, 1943. Do you know anything about that?
The main thing I know about the Germans is that they were far ahead of the United States and any other country. They believed in seances, and Hitler did, and a number of their scientists did, and they were given information on how to create a UFO.
Yes.
And it was kind of bell-shaped. And so no other country was nearly advanced as the Germans. And, of course, they were doing it so that they could control the world, like we all want to control the world. The United States is not a good country. I mean, there are far worse than us, yes. But again,
you say the United States is, but I can go to Germany, I can go to Italy, I can go to France, I can go to Canada. I mean, we don't have a perfect world, do we?
Of course not. It's not meant to be a perfect world because we're living in human form. And when you go down to human form, you're living on the plane of linear time. And in fifth dimensional time, it's only quantum. In other words, everything is happening at once. On linear time, which is the time that we live on Earth, there's past, present, and future. And that linear time also is the plane of duality, like I was saying before, where there's good, bad, right, wrong, black, white.
How do you resolve all of that? How do you bring it all together? To have a better world.
It cannot be fixed with the ego. And basically, getting back to Donald Trump, and this is, of course, my observations of him, you know, being working with addictions and whatnot, the man is beyond help.
Well, his niece says that in her book, Married Trump. Did you read the book?
No, I don't read. I have a hard time reading.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, his mother even said that. His mother said if he were president, he would be a disaster. Because
that's what his
mother said. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what she said.
Of course. I mean, he is extreme misogynistic. And, I mean, the whole planet is misogynistic.
Why is he extreme? Why?
Because he really feels he has absolutely he has no respect for women, period. He doesn't know how to love. He only knows how to idolize his ego and himself. That makes him an extreme narcissist, and you cannot help or cure a narcissist to his degree.
Do you know anything about his father or his grandfather, both of whom?
No, I don't.
Both of whom, there were some serious questions about their ethic and moral practices in terms of business.
There's no doubt. I mean, it's in his DNA.
Right.
And as is Baron, his son that he cherishes and wants to groom to be just like him.
How about his daughter?
His daughter... most likely because she's a woman, he doesn't really respect her or revere her or love her. He's not capable of loving any woman or any man, really, just himself.
I see. Okay.
But he has basically no respect for any woman, so he's not going to put any emphasis on grooming his daughter.
Okay. Do you think he has a chance of being president in the next two or three years this time around?
But you got to understand we live in an extremely corrupt world, the United States.
Yeah, we said that, and it's all a pretend. We said that. Pretend.
It's all a pretend, right.
Okay.
So you really can't even take it seriously. But the way we're going right now and with the dark charisma that Donald Trump has and the darkness of the human collective consciousness that right now pretty much dominates the planet. We're growing, but not fast enough.
So what is it's a battle.
He could be reelected, but in the past, he should be in jail.
I see. Okay.
Legally, he's a criminal. He should be in jail, but he won't be put in jail.
But so is Putin, and so is somebody else says something about Biden. About what do you think about Biden? I'm asking you this question. What do you think about Biden?
Well, I think Biden is asleep, which means that he's definitely not awake to his own spirituality.
We could really say that about 80% of the planet is still asleep. Would you say
probably say about 90%. I'd even go up more higher than you.
How is that to be rectified in the next 3 or 4 years?
It can't.
No? So you think this conflict will continue between male and female, good and bad, up and down, and diabolical, sinister against the good and the people who melt, diabolical will always be diabolical? Do you think that's going to continue?
My belief and what I resonate with is, and you might want to look her up. She's an excellent channel. Her name is Kerry Kay. It's K-E-R-R-Y and then initial K, last name. And she does excellent videos on YouTube.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Kerry Kay, okay. And who else would you recommend?
Lori Ladd.
Spell that name.
L-O-R-I-E-L-A-D-D.
Okay.
And Phil Good.
Who?
Phil Good, G-O-O-D.
Okay. Oh, got it. Do you know anything about Corey Good or David Wilcock or even Emily Smith?
Yeah, I've just limited. I don't listen to a lot, but I do watch Ancient Aliens, and I think it's fascinating. They're not allowed to tell the whole truth.
True.
Because they're censored.
How about
Everything is censored. I mean, just like the government owns every part of
true.
Entertainment.
True. Like you said, this is a game.
It's a game.
How about George Norrie?
I like George Norrie. I think he was a forerunner.
He was with Art Bell. Remember,
yeah.
Art Bell?
Uh-huh. Art Bell, yes. Yeah, I think they broke down a lot of walls.
Okay, well, what's happening? Let's. Art Bell was back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s. He just left the planet a couple of years ago. But where are we going down with all of this, the conflict and the
what
fight,
my belief,
the knockdown, the drag out, and the disrespect and all
that?
What's going to happen? And how long will it
take? Okay, my belief is that the humans cannot, we don't have an answer. The answer is going to be, we're in World War III now, but it's not like World War I or II where there's bombs and all this bullshit. Because the fifth dimensional being,
go ahead.
The fifth dimensional beings will not allow an atomic weapon to be discharged on the planet.
Well, I think
they will take it out.
I think that's been proven with all the UFOs, if you will, closing down the silos.
Yeah, they right. take and I lived in Great Falls when three ships landed on Malmstrom and shut them all down.
Okay, all right.
Just to prove it and give us the message.
All right, let's assume that. Okay, let me ask you another question. The Galactic Command, it's there above us, observing what's going on there. What's happening?
Well, there's a lot of different. There's the Galactic Federation of Light. There's the Galactic Federation. There's a number of different federations, and it's basically all consciousness. And like I was saying, World War III we are in, but it's a vibrational war. It's a vibrational war.
Well, how do you fight that when you don't even know what's going on?
I'm sorry, what?
How do you attack or fight that or rectify anything when you are in the dark? You're saying 90% of the people on planet Earth are in the dark and asleep. That's what you said?
Right, and that was the message going back to Jesus that Jesus gave, and many other masters gave that message to Confucius. A lot of different ascended masters have given that same message. There is only one way to solve, to become free, and to solve any problems, and that is by enlightening yourself. And nobody likes to do that because it means you got to go dig up your own trash and take a look at it and experience it and let it go. We want someone to do it for us.
With all the broadcasts these days and more coming, people are channeling. There are people doing blogs and podcasts about all this stuff. The people looking at UFOs and UAPs, and I'm talking about Dr. Greer and others, isn't the fight escalating in terms of information being presented to people so they can become aware?
Yes, it is, and that's why I'm saying it's that, and of course, we all belong to the human collective consciousness. We cannot escape it because we're one species. We can't escape it, so we're all part of that collective consciousness. At present, the collective consciousness is about 90% dark or asleep. Let's just call them asleep. They're not aware of why we're here. They belong to a religion or whatever, you know. And then that other vent is becoming awake, and they don't want anything to do with government. They don't want anything to do with school. That's why people don't want to go to work, because they know it's all a game show, and they're not being treated the way people are becoming aware that there's something greater than their own ego, and that's what we call the ascension process. We're waking up to who we truly are, and that's a good thing, and there's going to become more and more and more people, because the energy right now is full of that light and that frequency, and people don't even have to go back to books anymore and learn it. It's just being downloaded into their DNA, and they automatically know it from the time of birth on up. And that's why, but what's happening right now is because of the solar flares, and it's going to become more intense and more intense and more intense, and because of the Earth rising up to the fifth dimension, people are going to get to the point where, or not, where they are so sick and tired of killing and raping the planet and each other. They're so tired of it, they want to change, and they break out of religion. Unfortunately, it's not happening fast enough, and what's taking place is that the Earth is going to be split. She's going through a shift in consciousness, and that is like you take the Matrix. You take the red pill or the blue pill. And let's just say the red pill is the one that Neo took in the Matrix, and he wants to break out of the Matrix and go up to 5D, fifth dimension. That's what's happening on the planet right now. And so there is a shift in consciousness. There are those who will take the blue pill and go off to the left part of the shift in consciousness on the planet, and they will continue this, but it won't be nuclear weapons, and it'll be easier, but they will not be enlightened.
Okay.
And they will go that way, and then the ones that take the red pill will continue on Earth and go up to fifth dimensional consciousness. Now, both shifts, the red and the blue pill, will live side by side on the same planet, except in a totally different level of vibration, so that the fifth dimensional ones can see everything going on the third dimension, but the third dimension cannot see the fifth.
All right.
Because they haven't earned the rights.
All right. Well, listen, it's been wonderful talking to you, and we've been over the hour, but so...
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah, you heard it, yeah. So what I'll do, I'll get back to you if you don't mind, and we could do phase two, phase three, or whatever, and continue this conversation. But I appreciate you opening your time and energy and opening our ears, if you will, or some of us, or hearing what you have to say. And so,
well, I've enjoyed it, and I don't even know where it's going. I mean, I just heard from Jill. She said, "Do you want to be on a podcast?" And I said, "Sure, I don't care.
Right.
They don't want to read anything I write here, so why not?"
Well, I'll send it to you so you can listen to it.
Okay.
If you want to go to lightsinthenight.org, lightsinthenight.org, it'll be on that website, or projectdisclosure.com, either one. But anyway, I'll see that you get it. I'll send it to you for telephone so you can listen to it. All right?
Okay. All right, sure. I'd appreciate that. And I appreciate you calling and contacting me, Russell. It was very enjoyable.
Well, thank you. It was an awakening for many of us who are just beginning to understand that life is going to be a challenge for the next 2 or 3 years. But thank you very much.
It most definitely will. Yeah, it most definitely will. But just hang on. Go. My last message is go from the heart. Go from the heart.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate you being on.
Thank you very much, Russell.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.